Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who gathers us in the wilderness to redeem us, anoint us, and make us new. Amen. In these 40 days, let us be honest, confess our sin, and receive God's promise of mercy.
God at the margins.
We have wandered far from your home. Again and again, we lose our way. We turn inward, afraid of the world around us. We forget that you have saved your people before and promise to do so again. Do not remember the deeds of our past, but turn our faces toward the future, where your forgiveness is sure, your way is clear, and your love overflows. Amen. Like a hen who gathers her chicks, God embraces you in tender care. Like manna in the desert, God feeds you with surprising mercy. Like a loving parent, God runs to meet you again this day, forgiving your sins for the sake of Christ, leading you from death into life. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Creator God, you prepare a new way in the wilderness, and your grace waters our desert. Open our hearts to be transformed by the new thing you are doing, that our lives may proclaim the extravagance of your love, given to all through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The first reading is a reading from Isaiah 43, verses 16 to 21. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, brings out chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lie down, they cannot rise. They are extinguished, quenched like a wick. Do not remember the former things, or consider the things of old. I'm about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild animals will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches. For I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people who I formed for myself, so that they might declare my praise. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Who sowed with tears shall reap with songs of joy. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, then were we like those who dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue with shouts of joy. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. Those who sowed with tears shall reap with songs of joy. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad indeed. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the water courses of the Negeb. Those who sowed with tears shall reap with songs of joy. Those who sowed with tears will reap with songs of joy. Those who go out weeping, carrying the seed, will come again with joy, shouldering their sheaves. Those who sowed with tears shall reap with songs of joy.
The second reading is from Philippians chapter 3, verses 4b through 14. A writing for Paul. If anyone else has reason to be confident in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, a member of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. Yet whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as loss because of Christ. More than that, I regard everything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish, in order that I might gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith. I wanted to know Christ and the power of his resurrection, and the sharing of his suffering by becoming like him in his death, if somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this, or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider what I have made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. Word of God, word of life.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 12th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus therefore came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So they gave a dinner for Jesus. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those reclining with Jesus at the table. Mary therefore took a pound of expensive ointment made of pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of Jesus' disciples, he who was about to betray Jesus, said, "Why was this ointment not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief, and having charge of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone, so that she may keep it for the day of my burial. For the poor you always have with you, but you do not always have me." When the large crowd of the Jews learned that Jesus was there, they came, not only on account of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests made plans to put Lazarus to death as well, because on account of him, many of the Jews were going away. They were deserting and believing in Jesus. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. It is the best story around, isn't it? The story of Jesus and his love. And one of the story that we have today in the Gospel of Mary, who anoints Jesus' feet with this expensive perfume. It's a really good, it's a great story as well. Because, well, let me ask you some questions first. Why do we sing in church? Any ideas? Why do we sing in church? You think about that for a moment. I've got another question. Why do we read the Bible or the Word of God in church? Any ideas on that one? You guys are just stumped by my deep theological questions. All right, let me ask you another one. Why do we pray in church? Do you know? Are you just keeping it to yourself? You do, aren't you? You're keeping it a secret, though, aren't you? Do you know, Ben? Why do we pray in church? Huh. Why do we share the peace in church and offer people love and forgiveness in that moment? Why do we do that? I'm just going to keep asking until you answer me. Why do we take an offering in church? One of my nieces thought that the pastor just got it all. That's the wrong answer. Why do we remember Jesus' great act of love in the bread and the wine? Why do we do that? There's one answer for all of these questions. And it's related to what Mary did for Jesus that day at her home. The answer is, these are all acts of worship. These are ways that we worship Jesus and the Father. And we do that because in Jesus, we see God's perfect love for us. And I think Mary could go so far as to pour out a year's wages. It was like a year's wages. That perfume cost that much. It'd be like if you worked all year, saved every penny you made, and then bought this perfume. She poured that out on his feet. And then wiped them with her hair. She could do that because she saw God's perfect love for her and for Lazarus when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. If you guys are coming on Wednesday night, this coming Wednesday, we get to see that story acted out, the story of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. This is the first time that we've crossed over between Sunday and Wednesday during Lent, but it's a great time. We get to see that acted out. So I hope you can be here Wednesday night and see that story. So this is what we do when we gather. Because of God's great and perfect love, we worship. And these are the ways that we've learned to worship. We sing, we read God's word, we pray, we share God's love with others, we take an offering for the ministry to let it go forth from here. We remember Jesus and his sacrificial love. These are the ways that we worship God. So, can you guys say that? These are acts of worship. Answer my question this morning. Why do we do all these things? These are
acts of worship.
Yeah. Yeah. So I hope that you are inspired to worship more and more as you grow. Because it is an outgrowth. Of God giving us eyes to see how blessed we are in relationship with him. Let's pray. You can repeat after me. Jesus, we love you. We praise you. We worship you. Walk with us. Stir us. Empower us to love you more. To worship you daily. Praise your name. Amen. Thanks for coming up. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. There's a story of an old priest in wartime Germany who was out one evening at or near curfew. He came to a checkpoint where a young soldier new at the post cried out in demanding, "Stop! Who are you? Where are you going? And how will you get there?" The old priest drew near to the young soldier and he said, "Young man," he said, "how much does your government pay you to stand at this post?" The priest said, if I were to match that salary, if I were to match your salary, would you come to work for me and ask me those very same three questions every day? Who are you? Where are you going? How will you get there?" The priest realized that these are three very important questions for people who want to follow Jesus. They're three very important questions for the church. Who are you? Where are you going? And how will you get there? So let me ask you, do you know who you are? Do you know where you're going? And do you know how you'll get there? They are great questions. for Lent. As our text opens this morning in John chapter 12, we're told in chapter 11, at the end of chapter 11, that the Passover was near. Many were going up to Jerusalem to purify themselves. The author then tells us that it's 6 days before the Passover, and Jesus has been invited to the house of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. He's been invited there for a dinner to celebrate, to honor him. Mary and Lazarus and Martha, they are not going up to Jerusalem, but instead they are having a celebration at their home. While others who were seen as good religious Jews were going up to Jerusalem to purify themselves, they were honoring and loyal to the customs, the rituals, the traditions, the laws of purification that would prescribe to them the places and the venues that they were welcomed into throughout that time of Passover. But Mary, Martha, and Lazarus stayed in their home celebrating Jesus. On that occasion, something strange happened. As Jesus sat there at the table reclining with Lazarus and others, Mary came into the room with this expensive pound of nard, we're told, an expensive ointment that she poured out over his feet and wiped with her hair. This was an act of honor. It was an act of intimacy, an act of worship, which broke every cultural norm and would have been, most certainly been, the talk of the town for weeks and months, generations, centuries to come, as we still talk about it today. While the perfume was still lingering in the air, out of this extravagant act, Judas raises a stink. Why wasn't this perfume sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor? Jesus himself was known to say, "Go, sell your possessions, give the money to the poor, then come, follow me." But this is where we begin to see that something has changed for Mary and Martha and Lazarus. Something has changed for them since they were witnesses to and one who experienced resurrection at the hand of Jesus. We don't find out what that is until verse 11. In verse 11, we're told that because of Jesus and because of Lazarus, because he was raised from the dead, many, many were coming to see him. It's almost as if he's become a spectacle. Many were coming to Bethany to see Lazarus and Jesus. And we're told that they were deserting. They were deserting to follow Jesus. They're deserting the temple. They're deserting the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes. They're deserting those traditions and those loyalties that they had to come and to see Jesus. It seems to me that if Mary, Martha, and Lazarus would have been asked before Lazarus was raised, "Who are you? Where are you going? How will you get there?" their answers, I think, would have been much different than they were after that event. They would have answered differently before, or differently after that event than they would have before. Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, I'm guessing, would have been the first to Jerusalem. They would have been first to purify themselves. They would have been first to keep the laws, the rituals, the traditions, those values and priorities and principles that had been laid out for them for generations. But now, seeing Jesus, becoming a witness to him, they become deserters and they begin to follow Jesus. You see, knowing who you are, knowing whose you are, knowing that you are a child of God, knowing that you are a citizen of God's kingdom, it changes things, it transforms, it changes our loyalties, our priorities, it reshuffles our values. Mary, with no protest from Lazarus or Martha, pours out a year's wages upon Jesus' feet. She's purifying him. She's anointing him as both king and one who is about to go to his grave. She's anointing him as king, and she's anointing him for burial. For she knows that soon Jesus will take his throne, which in John's gospel is the cross. This act of extreme extravagance by those who are transformed is juxtaposed with Judas's self-centeredness that is cloaked in a false concern for the poor. Mary, Martha, and Lazarus have their loyalties, their priorities, and their values reshuffled. And for it, they are criticized. They're condemned by Judas. This kind of behavior still exists today. When people's lives are reoriented by and toward Jesus, when their loyalties and priorities and values turn from the world to God, friends, families, observers don't quite know what to do sometimes. They don't quite know how to act or what to say. I wonder if sometime Matt might talk about this as he prepares now to head off to seminary. Not only do people know what to say when our loyalties and priorities and values shift toward God, but they also may protest. They also may demand a loyalty and patriotism. They may spew hurtful words out of their own misunderstanding or inability to understand. It seems to me that Colin Kaepernick experienced this when he had the audacity to take a knee during the national anthem to protest injustices and discrimination that he saw as being carried out under the powers of that flag. He was blacklisted. In a sense, his career was ruined. Hurtful, hateful words were spewed, and demands for loyalty and patriotism came up from the dust of the earth. There's an old saying, when in Rome, do what the Romans do. Rome demanded loyalty. The scribes and the Pharisees demand loyalty. America demands loyalty. Families demand loyalty. Bosses demand loyalty. Friends demand loyalty. Interesting that this text comes up on alumni weekend. The thing is, when you discover that you belong to God and to God's kingdom, loyalties, priorities, and values are changed. Mary, Martha, and Lazarus saw that Jesus spared nothing, not even his own life, to give Lazarus his life. They knew that by raising Lazarus, Jesus, in a sense, pounded the last nail into his own coffin. In response, they spared no expense to honor him. Perfect, abundant love like that will not be far away from caring for the poor, the downtrodden, the suffering, those whom Jesus loved, those for whom Jesus gave priority. Dear friends, who are you? Where are you going? How will you get there? When you discover that Jesus' journey to Jerusalem was for you, when you discover that Jesus' journey to Jerusalem was for you, When you discover that Jesus' journey to Jerusalem was for you, it changes things. You may find that your loyalties, your priorities, your values are beginning to shift, and that can be scary. It can be trying. It can lead to uncertainty. It can lead to undetermined paths. It can lead to journeys that you don't know how they're going to end, because you're beginning to hear the call of Jesus on your life. And it changes things. I invite you to grapple with these questions in light of the upcoming events of Holy Week. As you witness Jesus, sparing no expense to redeem your life from the grave, wrestle with these questions. As you witness Jesus anointing you day after day in the waters of holy baptism, anointing you with his own precious blood poured out and given for you, be open to the ways that God will reorient your life. Will reorient your life to his praise, his glory, his honor. To serve those knocked down and run over by the world. Don't resist. Don't be afraid. Don't hold on too tightly to the old ways. Trust. Trust and believe, and he will show you the way. He will show you the way. Amen.
Seeking the grace, mercy, and love of Almighty God, we offer our prayers for the church, for people in need, and for all of creation. Heavenly Father, we worship you with our prayers, songs, reading the scriptures, and doing your will. These things are meaningful, but tiny in comparison to what you have done for us. Hear us, O God. O God, you are ever gracious. We pray for those who labor to bear witness to the gospel, who reach out in Jesus' name to welcome the stranger and care for the orphan, the sick, and those who are in need of your healing. Embolden us to follow in the way of our crucified and risen Lord as we face the powers of oppression and death. Hear us, O God. O God, you alone are the source of life, healing, and forgiveness. We pray for the well-being of your creation. Lead us to be good stewards of your creation, that we may attend to the threat of global warming, attend to endangered species and ravaged landscapes. Hear us, O God. O God, you are sovereign over all. We pray for the nations of the world, for governments, political leaders, military leaders, and citizens. Inspire us to build communities of mutuality, peace and goodwill with each other locally, nationally, and throughout the world. Hear us, O God. God, you are merciful, for in Jesus Christ you embrace the world. Bless and watch over the immigrants, migrants, and refugees as they seek safety and better lives for their families. Stir up courage among your people to resist oppressive powers, and strive for the freedom of those who are entrapped and exploited wherever they are. Hear us, O God. Heavenly Father, we pray for the physical, spiritual, social, emotional, financial needs of this church, for the members and visitors, for our radio listeners, and particularly for the people who are listed in our bulletin as we read their first names together. June, Rolf, Baby Jaylee, Nick, Heather, Melissa, Dwayne, Iona, Catherine, Tim, missionaries Colin, Jenny, Josie, and Amos, and the Evangelical Lutheran Church of the Miamians. Hear us, O God. Accompany those for whom death draws near. Bring us with all your saints to receive the abundance of heavenly glory through the covenant Christ, sealed in his death and resurrection. Hear us, O God. And we thank you that you reveal your will as you receive our prayers. We pray in our precious Jesus Christ, our Lord's name. Amen. The peace of Christ.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
God who fills the creation with abundance, Christ who spreads his arms in forgiveness, Holy Spirit who draws ever near to us, bless you and bring you to life everlasting. Amen.
Go in peace, remember the poor, find them, and help them.
Amen. Thank you. Yeah.